over and see that, oh, we need a new calendar, right? The end of the year, time to get a new calendar. I heard a message from Richard Blackaby a few years ago when I was with Dad down in Pella, Iowa. And it was he wrote a book about this called The Seasons of God. And it just really, I thought was really, really well. So I kind of want to give you my version of that talk. And it's titled, What Season Are You In? Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 2 says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted. And so as we come into a new year, it's a good reminder that each year has its own seasons. And to kind of look at what does that mean? What does it mean that we have these different seasons, and what is the purpose of them? And so the first season that many of you guys are already counting down the days to is spring, right? Is anybody ready for some warm weather? You know, we haven't really had that cold of a winter, so probably nobody is anxious for warm weather, right? Maybe a few people. But spring, right? What do we look forward to in spring? Well, we look forward to new life, right? Seeing those the grass green up, see the flowers start to bud and the trees start to bud with new leaves. And so we get new life. Isaiah 61:11 says, for as the earth brings forth its bud, as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. And so spring is a time of new life. And it also represents, you know, the birth. You know, even our own life has its different seasons. And we have, for example, newborn children. And we have Kyla, and we have Norris, and we have a bunch of different little kids in here, right? And we're excited to see that. And I know there's a particular grandma that just cannot wait to see their little grandchild. It's a boy or girl?
Don't know yet.
Don't know yet. All right. And we even ourselves are looking forward to getting back into that newborn phase in May. It's a wonderful time. New life is exciting. Spring also comes with new opportunities. Deuteronomy 32:2 says, let my teaching drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew, as the raindrops on the tender herb, as showers on the grass. And so here, the law of the Lord is teaching the children of Israel new things, but we also have different periods of times where we're going through and we're learning different things. For example, Don right now is a student of this soundboard that we just got, that the church just got. And he's been spending a lot of time learning a lot of things, right, Don? Yeah. And that is a season that we go through. He won't have to do that for the rest of his life, but right now that's where he is at. And so we have that same thing. We have new opportunities. We also have new growth. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babies desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. And so that's not only true of our life, it's not only true of God's creation, right? That's also true in our own spiritual life, right? Spring can represent the time when we come to know Christ as Lord and Savior and we make that decision to follow Him. It can also represent a new opportunity where you're stepping out and serving the Lord, right? We support Kathleen as a missionary. And there was a time when she decided, hey, I really feel like the Lord is leading me to go to Bangladesh. right? And then she, okay, what is that going to look like? How is that going to work out? And, you know, to be a part of this Bible translation team. And so spring represents new opportunities. It also, it represents times of, you know what, here is a struggle that I've been having in my life that I'm tired of having this struggle with, and I want to grow. I don't want to continue to down this cycle, this downward cycle of sin, and allow it to control my life anymore. I want God to have the victory over this sin in my life. And so it's a period of new growth. But spring is a time for vision. Spring is a time where we have a vision for what God wants us to do, for what is good. It's a time to explore the possibilities, right? We never know what could happen. And so spring is a wonderful time thinking about what could be. And then we turn to summer. Summer is a time of dedication. Summer is the time when you put the work in. Proverbs 6:6-8 says, "Go to the ant, you sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest." It doesn't work if we're always in spring, right? If we're always thinking of new ideas, that never gets us anywhere, right? At some point, we got to put, what's the expression? Our feet to the road or something like that. We actually have to get the work done. And that's what summer is. Summer is the time of dedication. It's about the time of going out and doing the work. Proverbs 12:24 says, "The hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor." Right? Summer is the time to do the work. Also, Colossians 3:23-24 says, "Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of your inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." Right? Whatever we do, we're to do it heartily. To work heartily, because God is going to give us a reward, but that reward is going to come. It's not now. Right now is the time to work. We are also to toil. Ecclesiastes 5:18 says, "Here is what I have seen." Right? This is Solomon, the wisest man. He says, "Here is what I have seen. It is good and fitting for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all of his labor in which he toils under the sun, all of his days of his life, which God gives him, for it is his heritage." Right? I know when I was a kid, I had this dream of, I'd work really hard and I would invent something that would be wonderful, right? And then I could just take the rest of my life off and just be comfortable and just enjoy, right? That's not how God created us. He created us to work all the days of our life, right? To work hard. Now, part of that is the curse of sin. That's true. But God did not put Adam and Eve on this earth to just sit back and watch the birds chirp. He put them in the garden to tend the garden and to keep it and to work. What happens when something doesn't work? What do you do when something doesn't work in your house? You put it in the closet, right? You put it in the closet to fix it later, right? No, we get rid of it. If it doesn't work, it's broke. We get rid of it. I remember Isabel was telling me one time that one of the places where she cleans, she took a vacuum home and she fixed it. And then she brought it back. And the guy was like, "What are you doing?" And she's like, "Well, the vacuum was broken, and so I fixed it and I brought it back." And he just looked at her like, "What are you doing?" He's like, "We don't do that here. If something breaks, we throw it away. We don't fix things." But God put us here to work. And it is good to enjoy the labor. It's good to enjoy working because it is what we are here to do. Summer is a time of working, right? Parents know how that goes, right? It's beautiful to invite this little baby into your arms, right? The moment of that birth is just so precious, so awesome, so magical, right? But for the next, 6 weeks, losing all the sleep, right? That part isn't so much fun, right? Getting up at all hours of the night. It's work. It's hard work. It's a dedication of love. And so summer is the time of dedication. And also in our spiritual life, it's a time of resisting evil. Hebrews 12, 1 through 4 says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endures such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your own souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin." You know, it's really wonderful when we have communion, when we come to church and we talk about how Jesus died on the cross for our sins. But the part where we are supposed to strive against sin ourselves, that part's not so exciting to talk about. "For consider him who endures such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin." Summer is a time that we have to resist evil. It's also a time that we have to be patient and not give up. Patience, James 5, 7 says, "Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and the latter rain." Alan, you ever plant in the spring and during the summer you just get so excited about harvesting that you just get out there and harvest right in the middle of June? You never done that? Why not? It's not ready. There's nothing to harvest, right? You got to be patient. You can't get ahead of the game. And in our own lives, we have to be patient. As we go through different seasons of life, we have to be patient. Patient with our children. Patient with our spouse. Patient with ourselves. Patient with the Lord. Galatians 6, 9 says, "Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart." Summer is the time to put the work in. It's a time of dedication. It's not necessarily glamorous. It's not what you put on the brochure, but it is important. And then fall. Fall is the time of reward. Fall is the time where we get to reap the rewards of our labor. It is the time of the harvest. Proverbs 10:5 says, "He who gathers in the summer is a wise son," right? If you're able to get a crop in early and it's able to grow to where you can pick it at the end of summer, right? That shows you had wisdom. "But he who sleeps in the harvest is a son who causes shame." We should not be ones that are sleeping in the harvest. The harvest is the time to gather, the time to collect, the time to receive the reward. The wicked man does deceptive work, but he who sows righteousness will have a sure reward. You know, last year we celebrated Isabel and Michael's graduation. And, right, that is a time where we're celebrating the hard work that they have done. We've had other graduations as well. But that is the harvest, right? That is the time where we are celebrating accomplishment, where there is a reward for the work that has been done. Psalms 85:12 says, "Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase." And so there is a harvest. There is a time of harvest. There is a harvest, and that is represented by the fall. James 1:12 talks about the reward. "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him." I know that Paul talks about in Philippians, looking forward to that time when we're going to be right there and receive those crowns, receive our reward. Galatians 5:22-23 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." And sometimes we kind of put that verse out there almost like as soon as you sign up for the Christian faith, there's the fruit, right? But that's not how it works. The fruit comes after spring and summer, right? The fruit of the Spirit comes after yielding to the Spirit and obedience to the Spirit, and then comes the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Hebrews talks about being disciplined by the Father. And then if you are obedient to the Father and you're trained by His discipline, then there is a reward of righteousness. And it's the same thing with the fruit of the Spirit. We first have to be under the Spirit's tutelage. We first have to be walking in the Spirit. And then we will experience the fruit of the Spirit. And so the fall is the time where we reap the reward. Galatians 6:7 says that we reap what we sow. "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap." How do you know how much to plant, Alan? How do you know how much to plant? Plant half the field? You plant the whole field? Why? You want the whole harvest, right? Yeah. And do you plant weeds? You don't plant weeds, okay. Why not? They come on their own? Do you want weeds? No, right? So you got to plant what you want, right? So what do you want to reap in your life? You got to plant that, right? The Bible says that the harvest of righteousness is there for those who plant peace and righteousness. So we're going to reap what we sow. So that might be something that you might want to be thinking about. What am I sowing in my life? Am I sowing to the flesh? Am I sowing discord? Am I sowing dishonor, frustration? Am I sowing goodness, love? "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." So the fall is the time of harvest, and then we go right back to spring again, right? Time for spring again. That's kind of how our minds work, right? As soon as we get that reward, okay, now we're on to the next thing. And the really thing that stuck out about me about the seasons of God concept was when he got to winter. Because winter is an important part. It's an important part of the year. It's an important part of our life. Winter is a time of rest. It's when things die. And that's an important thing. Genesis 8:22 says, "While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease." Winter is part of God's plan for your life. Right now, this winter that we're going through is an important part of the rotation of seasons. It's a time for the land to rest. Psalm 74:17 says, "You have set all the borders of the earth. You have made summer and winter." Job 37:5-8 says, "God thunders marvelously with his voice." This is Elihu. He's talking. He's trying to convince Job that God is powerful and that God is just. He says, "God thunders marvelously with his voice. He does great things which we cannot comprehend. For he says to the snow, 'Fall on the earth,' likewise to the gentle rain and to the heavy rain of his strength. He seals the hand of every man, that all men may know his work. The beasts go into their dens and remain in their lairs." Winter is a time for rest. Winter is a time to let things go, to let things die, to make ready new areas for growth. Right? When do we prune? We prune after the fall, right? In the early winter. Why? Because that's when it's healthiest for the plant. And so you prune back and you take and you throw into the fire what is not good, what is not growing, what is not going in the right way. Winter is a time for preparing for change, preparing our hearts for change. In Isaiah 55:8-11, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. For as the sun comes down and the snow from heaven and does not return there, but the waters the earth and brings it forth and bud, and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. And so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." Just like the snow comes down and it is going to be here for a while and it will soak down into the earth so that when the seed is planted in the spring, it will grow and it will bring forth a crop that can feed us. And so God's word is sent forth from his mouth to prepare our hearts for that seed of the gospel, that by the hearing of faith, we should believe and turn away from our sin and be obedient to God. Winter is a time to let things die. One of the things that's important to die is the flesh, right? Going back to Galatians chapter 5, what's the very next verse after the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience? And those who are Christ have put to death the flesh with its passions and desires. Winter is a time for death. Right? We have the spring of our life. We have the summer of our life. We have the fall of our life. And we have the winter of our life. But that's true of our spiritual life, right? John 15, 5 through 6 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. You know, there are a lot of churches today in America that used to be faithfully preaching the word. And now they are faithfully celebrating LGBTQ and everything else that the world wants them to proffer. And even in our own personal lives, maybe we're not thrown out of the kingdom of God, but are there parts of our lives where God needs to break off and say, hey, this part needs to die? This area of your life needs to die. It needs to be pruned. The Lord disciplines who He loves. He prunes our heart so that it can grow more and more and yield more fruit. Winter is an important part. It's a time of rest. It's a time of preparation. It's a time of letting things go. In the lesson that he shared, Richard Blackaby showed a picture of a closet, right? And it's shoved so full of clothes, right? And there's clothes just thrown in there. The whole thing is full. And what if somebody didn't go through and just take out the old, right? Take out the stuff that doesn't fit anymore, right? Is that closet going to be functional anymore? No, it's not functional at all. And so it needs some pruning. It needs some tending. It needs to be prepared for the future. And so I want to ask you this question of what season are you in? What season are you in? Are you in spring? Are you thinking about exciting new things that are happening around you? Opportunities that God has given you to take part of? Are you in summer where you're doing the work? Maybe you're getting a little weary. Maybe you're getting a little discouraged. Right? Maybe you're in fall, where you're starting to see the rewards of your labor. Or maybe you just went through that and now you're in winter, a time of rest. What is God going to do next? What are some types of cycles that we go through? Well, we have a year, right? Every year we go through spring, summer, fall, and winter. Right? We also have our age, right? We start out at zero. We end only God knows where. That's a cycle. But we also have different jobs, right? JL just started this week in Trip. He's been here for a few months, but this was his first week of teaching, right? And so he's in that spring season, right? Everything is new. But Randy, it's not new. Trucking isn't new anymore, is it? Been doing it a few years. How many years you been trucking? Yeah, right? He's not in his spring season anymore. Gaylord went through that with the male season, right? There was a spring. It was a lot of hard work, learning new things. But you're not in the spring season anymore, right? And so we have a jobs, right? Where we go through different jobs and we go through that cycle, right? Different parts of our life. How about our house, right? Charlene recently, a couple years ago, purchased a new home. Moved from Washington, right? And now it's like, okay, what are we going to do with this room? What are we going to do with this room? How's this all going to work out? Right? We've been living in our house for 10 years now. It's no longer in the spring season, right? And so we have to go through and say, okay, how are we going to make this work? Is this still functioning the way we initially set it up? Is it still effective? And maybe you walk into a room in your house and you say, hey, the winter has come to this area. We need to revitalize it, right? We need to make some changes so that it can be more effective. Maybe there's some areas of your life, your spiritual life, that are in winter. Or maybe they're even in fall, right? Maybe things are going really well. But guess what? That winter's coming. Because, hey, seasons don't stay forever. They change. And so what can we do with this understanding, with this teaching that we have this morning? I want to give you a few pointers in closing. One, don't get married to a season. Don't get married to a season, right? Don't get married to spring. It will come. It will go. Don't get discouraged in summer. Summer is a time of hard work, but it's not forever. Charlene was just telling me about a coworker that's going to go on maternity leave. That's probably going to mean a little extra work for Charlene, right? But it's just for a season. It's not going to last forever. Don't get married to a season. Summer doesn't last forever. Here's another one. Don't envy another's harvest. People are going to go through harvests, and that's great. Be excited for them. Don't envy another person's harvest. And this last point is mainly pointed right towards me. Embrace winter. Embrace winter. Take a stock of your life. What needs to die? What do I need to allow to make room for new life? Because it doesn't matter what your age is. There's always new things happening. And that means that we need to allow things to finish. It's good to finish projects. It's good to put things away. Winter is an important part of the year. And so I want you guys to encourage you to embrace winter. Now, from a spiritual perspective, obviously, we know that people die, right? But we also know that absent with the body is present with the Lord. And so we don't have to, be discouraged like those who have no hope, because we know that our hope is in Jesus Christ and that we will live forever with Him. But as long as we're in this life, embrace those cycles and embrace winter. There are ups and downs of life, but winter is an important part. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the seasons that you've given to us. Spring, summer, fall, and winter. Winter is a time where things are cold, where people rest, the days are shorter. But it's an important time. It's a time to reflect. It's a time to get prepared, to plan. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to take advantage of winter, to be thankful for winter, to make new room in our hearts for the things that you want to do, for the fruit that you want to produce in our life. That means we need to allow some of our fleshly desires to be set aside, to be put away, to learn new things. Your word teaches us to put away anger, to put away malice, to put away falsehood. These are things that need to end. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to embrace a time of winter in our life where we can examine, where we can plan, where your Holy Spirit can produce the preparation for the soil of our heart that will be ready for spring. Lord, I just pray that the message here would be an encouragement to those who heard it. And Lord, that your Spirit would begin to work in our hearts and be ready for new life in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.